Vira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivra Jagacharya Ashto Darashatta Sri Srimad Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakur Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru in Gauranga. This morning we're reading from Canto 3, Chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Kardama, Text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Viditva Tava Chaityam Me. Puraeva Samayojitat. Yadartam Atma niyamais, dvaya evaham samarchita. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, viritva tava chaitam me, pura eva samayojitat. Yadartam yatma niyamais, dvaya evaham samarchita. Tava chaityam me. Chaityam me puraeva samayojitat. Sri Bhagavan Novacha. The Supreme Lord said, Viditva, understanding, Dava, your, Chaityam, mental condition, Me, by me, Buddha, previously, Eva, certainly, Samayoji, was arranged, Tat, that, Yat Artham, for the sake of which, Atma, of the mind and senses, Niyamai, by discipline, Tvaya, by you, Eva, only, Aham, I, Samarchita, have been worshipped. The Supreme Lord said, having come to know what is in your mind, I have already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me well through your mental and sensory discipline. I'll read it again. The Supreme Lord said, having come to know what was in your mind, I have already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me well through your mental and sensory discipline. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is situated in everyone's heart. He knows, therefore, the past, present, and future of every individual person, as well as his desires, activities, and everything about him. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he is seated in the heart as a witness. The Personality of Godhead knew the heart's desire of Kardama Muni, and he had already arranged for the fulfillment of his desires. He never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants. But he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service. So, topic today, two things, desire and mercy. So let's go over the Sanskrit. Viditva tava chaityam me. Viditva, understanding, tava, your, chaityam, mental condition. So the Shikshastakam starts with cheto darpana marjanam. So cheta, it's the same word, cheta, chaitya, our mental condition. Cheto darpana marjanam. Our condition, our mental condition gets cleansed by chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam. Bhava maha devagni nirvapanam. Shriya kairava chandra kavitarnam. And so many things follow after that. First step is cheto darpana marjanam. So marjana means to clean. Chanting purifies the heart. Kardama Muni, he's got a pure heart. So viditva, understanding, tava, your, chaityam, mental condition, me, by me. So understanding your mental condition, by me, all of these arrangements have already been made. Pura eva samayojitat. So pura, previously, eva, certainly, samayoji, was arranged. Tat, that. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, Krishna already knows every living entity, knows the past, he knows our present and future. Vedaham samatitaini vartamanani charjuna. Does anybody else know this verse? Okay. So that's from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I know everyone's vedaham, veda, knowledge, aham, I, vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna, or Arjun. I know the past, the present, the future of all living entities, tanyaham veda sarvani. I know everything. Mam tu veda nakashchana. but nobody knows me. Nobody can know Krishna completely. Even Krishna himself can't know himself completely. The old challenge, people saying, well, you say God's unlimited, there's nothing he can't do. Well, can he do something so amazing? Can he make something so big and so heavy that he can't lift it? And they feel like, okay, we've got you backed into a corner now. How can you? No matter which way you say, it's going to be wrong. And Prabhupada answered that immediately without even thinking. He said, yes, of course. And then he'll lift it. Because he's already done that exercise so many times in his purports. It shows up in the Krishna book at the end of the prayers by the personified Vedas. It's in the second canto, and then we just came across it somewhere else. Same thing, how Krishna is so unlimited, he cannot understand himself. He even surprises himself, and then he understands it. And then he does something amazing again. And so Prabhupada says, he goes on and on with measurement and increment in both places, second canto and Krishna book. He uses that same language, measurement and increment. He measures it, he understands it, he comprehends it, and then he goes beyond it. And that's been going on forever. No wonder Anantashesh, who has unlimited heads, and he's been describing and glorifying Krishna forever, never runs out of things to say. Okay, so viditva tava chaityam me, so understanding your chaita, your consciousness, Purayava samayoji tat. I've already made arrangements. Samayoji was arranged. Tat. Yadartam atma niyamais. Yadartam. For the sake of artha. Everyone's familiar with that word. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Artha means something valuable. Here, for the sake of yadartam atma, of the mind and senses, niyamai, by your discipline of atma, of the mind and senses, tvaya, by you, eva, only, aham, I, samarchita, have been worshipped. So you worship me, controlling your mind and senses. Now we'll read the translation again. Having come to know what was in your mind, I have already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me well, through your mental and sensory discipline. So we have noticed that we have desires all the time. And some of them are good, and some of them are not so good, and some of them are troubling and disturbing. And we've also noticed that we have a little control over those desires. We can focus on some of them, and some we can like try to neglect. But we do have some control over our desire, and that's what this niyama, discipline, atma niyama. Atma vinigraha, let's see, indriyatishu, vairagyam, anahankara. Anyway, throughout the Gita, it's talking about this practice. So we're not completely powerless. We do have some control over our desires, and that's what the whole game of bhakti yoga is about. We have desires, and we can control them, and the path of yoga is to just try to still them. And once in a while, we find ourselves in a situation where we are free from desires, and we become very peaceful, and it feels really good. It's a relief, but it doesn't last very long because it's not our natural condition. We are always going to have desires as long as we are alive. That is part of our definition of life, is to have desires. But the bhakti yoga process is to direct those desires, and the disciplines are similar to the other yoga practices, but our desires are Well, let's see. There's that series of verses describing Maharaj Ambarish, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayon Vachangshi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. He used his speech for describing the Lord. He used his sense of hearing for hearing about the Lord. His hands for serving the Lord. And then, what's the last line? I wrote it down here somewhere. What's the last line about all of his desires were kamam tu dasyam na tu kama kamyayam. Yeah, so kamam, his kama, his desires were all for kamam tu dasyam na tu kama kamyayam. So his desire was to become a servant and to kama na tu kama kamyayam and make all of your desires his desires. So that's the process of bhakti yoga. And so we have desires. Krishna is aware of our desires. We're going to go through the purport again because it's just such a short purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is situated in everyone's heart. Okay, we got time. How many know that verse? Anybody? The Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Paramatma feature is situated in everyone's heart. 1861, yeah. There's also the 1515, but... Yes. Okay, let's start with 1515, the dual purpose verse. Sarvasya chaham ridisan evishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Sarvera abham eva vedyo Vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. How many got that one? You know it. Anybody else? Okay, over there. Really? Prabhupada quotes that so often because it serves two purposes. Krishna is in the heart. He gives us knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. And then the second half, whenever they're talking about the Vedas or Vedanta, it says he brings that up also. I'm the purpose of all the Vedas. All the Vedas are meant for understanding me. I'm the one who wrote the Vedas. Vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Okay, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is situated in everyone's heart. First paragraph. That's all like a whole lifetime of yoga and meditation to understand that. That's described in chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, Still the Mind. You'll see him there. He knows, therefore, the past, present, and future of every individual person, as well as his desires, activities, and everything about him. So, Vedaham, Samatitani, Vartaman, Anicharjana. That's chapter 7. 7 what? Anybody know? Okay, anyway, 7th. 727. Okay. Okay. So far, Prabhupada's in two sentences, he's referring to three Bhagavad Gita verses at least. When you really study his books, you'll see every sentence he's referring to something. So continuing on. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he is seated in the heart as a witness. Now he's bringing up chapter 13. Upadrasta. Okay, he's got the whole verse. I got the first three words. And Pundarik's got... You got the whole thing, Pundarik? Upadrasta numantascha. I know the first line. Bharta Bhukta Maheshwara Paramatmeti Ityukta Dehasmin, I am in the body. Yeah, okay. So I'll read that sentence again. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he is seated in the heart as a witness. All right. Okay, a little suspense. The next line. So you're going to quote another Bhagavad Gita verse? The personality of Godhead knew the heart's desire of Kardama Muni, and he had already arranged for the fulfillment of his desires. Okay, all those three sentences were building up to this one. So he could say with conviction, therefore, personality of Godhead knew the heart's desire of Kardama Muni, and he had already arranged for the fulfillment of his desires. And also, all of that built up to this. He never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants. But he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service. Okay, I'm sure I could ask any devotee if they have experience of that, of Krishna fulfilling desires, but not exactly the way they wanted them, not in a way that would be detrimental to their devotional service. We all feel like we're living some charmed life. As soon as I got the mantra, I was hitchhiking across California, and I was kind of shy about it. I would chant when no one else was there. I'd hold my hand out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Talking like a ventriloquist so people wouldn't think, who's this weird guy talking to himself? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And it just seemed to bring about good things into my life. And then eventually I joined the temple and we went out chanting down Telegraph Avenue, and they said, don't look in the shop windows, don't get distracted by what the people are doing, just chant and pray for everyone's welfare. Don't be distracted by what's by the outside world, and that's the best thing you can do for yourself and for everyone. So we were out chanting, and we stopped at one corner, and we stayed there for a while, and devotees were handing out flyers and magazines and invitations to the temple. And on the other corner was a group of people who were throwing things at the devotees, but nobody noticed. And I tried not to notice. And they were throwing tomatoes and eggs. And the devotees were just chanting, doing the Swami step. And like when they would go this way, an egg would fly over that side. And they go that way, and a tomato would fly over that side. Nobody was getting hit the whole time. And I just thought, okay, I shouldn't be looking at these things. I should just focus on chanting. And then I noticed one of the girls went out into the street to pick up a flyer that someone had dropped. And so as soon as she bent over, an egg flew over her head and flew into, somebody had a sports car with the top down, and it landed in his car, and he immediately jumped out, and a police car was driving by. He stopped the police car, and he was saying something, and I just went back into chanting, no, I'm not going to watch this. This is distracting. But then later I noticed the people on the opposite corner all being arrested, and a big police wagon came and took them all away. And when I went back to the temple, nobody said anything about it. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Everyone was just so absorbed in the kirtan. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of felt like that throughout my life, that, you know, when I'm going like this, something's flying over that way. But once in a while, we do get hit by stuff. And sometimes, so we always feel like somehow Krishna's protecting me from those things. But then when something does hit us, then we feel like, okay, Krishna's trying to tell me something. I think every devotee will say, we live this charmed life. We're getting Krishna is fulfilling all of our desires. And so we feel an obligation to be careful with our desires. Prabhupada's prayers when he arrived in Boston in 1965, when he got back on the ship, and that final leg of the journey to New York, he wrote those poems, and they're all about the desire of his spiritual master. Bhaktisiddhanta has this desire to see Krishna's name spread all over the world. And so he's addressing Krishna, saying, you know, if you want to get Radharani's favor, then you should try to help him with his mission. That Bhaktisiddhanta is very dear to Radha, and if you fulfill his desire, that will make Radharani very happy. And then he goes on this whole thing about how, I know you want this too, and it will be fulfilled, that people will be singing your names all over the world. You have the power to do this. So it seems like Prabhupada is just, he's moving under the will by the desire of his guru, and he's acting according to that desire. He's made that his desire, and so it's become a fact. So viditva tava chaityam me, so his mental condition, his cheta, is very pure. When we have pure desires and our consciousness is pure, there's so many places in the Bhagavatam where devotees are offering prayers and they say, for one who has pleased the Lord, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. So that is our procedure, that is our main goal, to try to please the Lord. I've got some real interesting things here. I just happened to hear a conversation while Prabhupada was in Geneva, June 4th, 1974. He's talking with a professor, what was his name? I don't know how to pronounce this, Regame, Professor Regame, who is just agreeing with everything Prabhupada says. It's a really good conversation, and Prabhupada's running with it. So there's a lot of points in here. Try to follow. Prabhupada says, the atom bomb is ready. You have got, I have got. I drop on you, and you drop on me. Both of us. We're finished. So unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of being saved. Okay, here's something new you probably never heard before. There is the example of the grinding mill. The grains are put within it, and they are all smashed. But one grain who takes shelter of the center, the pivot, it is not smashed. Similarly, the modern civilization is such that everyone will be smashed. And if one takes the central point, shelter, Krishna consciousness, he will not be. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So the best thing is to take shelter of Krishna and save yourself. Save means if you simply understand Krishna, you study Krishna book, beginning from birth up to the point of his leaving this world, full of activities. Not that because he is God, he is sitting in one place. No, full of activities in all different spheres of life, art, philosophy, politics, sociology, military arts, everything complete. That is Krishna. Okay, now here comes something else really interesting. Okay, how'd everybody do with that so far? Got the grain grinder. Just like in Gainesville, they have the Devil's Mill Hopper Park. And most people don't know what a mill hopper is. Does anyone here know what a mill hopper is? A hopper is a bin that you put stuff in. It's a hopper, and it's going into the mill. The hopper will usually have something vibrating it, and something just allowing a little dribble of grain to come in, goes down into the grinding stone, gets ground, everything smashed. So the devil's mill hopper. Some creative person saw that sinkhole and said, you go in there and you're going to get shaken down and crushed into hell. The devil's mill hopper. Okay, so, but one grain is in the central point, the pivot point, doesn't go down. So you take shelter of the center. I've never heard this anywhere else. This is the first time I've heard Prabhupada using this analogy. After 50 years, we're still finding new stuff. So take shelter of Krishna. We save ourselves. Save means simply to understand Krishna. So now he's referring to Bhagavad Gita, janma, karma, chame divyam, evam yo veditatvata, tyaktva deham, punar janma, naitimam iti sorjana. Just understanding Krishna's birth and activities. And he is full of activities. Not that because he is God, he is sitting in one place. No, full of activities in all different spheres of life. Art, philosophy, politics, sociology, military arts, everything complete. That is Krishna. Okay, now here's where it gets really interesting. If he had appeared as Vishnu with four hands, then he would have had to take only service. That's all. No other activity. Therefore, he appeared with two hands, like a human being. Pretty interesting. If instead of Krishna, if he had just appeared as Vishnu, he would have just stood there and everyone would have worshipped him. Because that's all Vishnu does. And he'll speak a few words, and then he goes away. But with Krishna, he is involved in art, philosophy, politics, sociology, military arts, everything complete. That is Krishna. So then he repeats again. Simply, if we understand what Krishna's activities are, then we become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Chaktva deham punar janma. We are teaching that. You try to understand Krishna, and all problems of life are solved. You go back home, back to Godhead. And then the professor says, everything is done by Krishna, and we are only the tools for him. Okay, so he's obviously read Prabhupada's books. He says a lot of things that are direct quotes from Prabhupada's writing. Everything is done by Krishna. We are only the tools for him. And then Prabhupada replies to that, everything is done by Krishna. That's all right. But yeyata mam prapadyante, as you want Krishna to do, he wants you to surrender. But you want so many things. Therefore, he gives facility. All right, do it at your risk. I want to do something else, but I can't without his sanction. Therefore, he sanctions. That means Krishna does everything. Out of his mercy, he agrees, all right, do it. But you'll have to get the result. Okay. A lot of points in there. We have some time. Maybe we'll open up here if anyone has anything to discuss. Oh, but wait, I do have one more big topic. Okay, so if we surrender to Krishna, then we get into that realm, and that would be, okay, back on the verse, viditvam tava chaityam me, we have this pure chaita, pure consciousness. We surrender to Krishna, we take shelter of the central pivot so we don't get crushed like everyone else. Kardama Muni is completely surrendered. Lord Vishnu has come. Okay, now here's the difference. When Krishna comes, as Prabhupada says, he takes part in everything. Art, politics, military. So last night we were reading in the 10th canto, chapter 13. We're going really slow in there because this is the last chapter that Prabhupada wrote commentary for. And so we're just slowly picking everything apart. and his purports are so good. The text number, I forget what it is, but this was after Krishna, the cowherd boys, the calves were taken away by Brahma. And then Krishna says, all right, well, I'll just expand myself. I'll become all of them. And so he expands himself into each of the boys. They're dressed exactly as they were when they left home that morning. He replicates each of their personalities so that even their mothers don't recognize this is someone different. But they do recognize in a different way. So the verse after describing all of that goes, the mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household tasks, lifted their boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman, and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, although all the elderly gopis knew that Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, they still desired, if Krishna had become my son, I would also have taken care of him like Mother Yashoda. This was their inner ambition. Now, in order to please them, Krishna personally took the role of their sons and fulfilled their desire. They enhanced their special love for Krishna by embracing him and feeding him, and Krishna tasted their breast milk to be just like a nectarian beverage. While thus bewildering Brahma, he enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yoga Maya between all the other mothers and himself. So they had a desire, and Krishna fulfilled that desire. And he went to, what an arrangement. He went to fulfill that desire. Like that professor said, we are tools. Krishna is doing everything. Let me find that. Yeah, everything is done by Krishna, and we are only the tools for him. And then Prabhupada says, everything is done by Krishna. That's all right. But ye yata mam prapadyate, as you surrender to Krishna, he'll reciprocate. As you want Krishna to do, he wants you to surrender. But you want so many other things. Therefore, he gives facility. All right, do it at your risk. So just to have such a pure desire. I just came across that last night about the mothers, and I thought, okay, that relates in here. Of the list of people in Vatsalya Ras given in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a list of several people. Up at the top is Mother Yashoda. Then the next, Nanda Maharaj. Number three. You got the whole list down. Okay, number four. It goes on. I forget if, I think these mothers are even above Devaki. He gives the list and then he says, this list is given in order of importance. Yeah. She's in there, but I think these ladies are...
There is a verse that gives this tender... There is a verse giving which mother is higher than her, based on that.
Yes.
Yasodhava Mahabhaga Pabodhya Sustanam Hari
He's so hungry to drink the breast milk of Mother Yashoda. So then Rupa Goswami Pad breaks down. Devaki only fed one time in her life, just before the child left. That's it. But Mother Yashoda not only fed, Krishna is thirsty, hungry for that. He would cry, he would show other emotion just for that. Papojashvastanam Hari, he is completely satisfied, yet he is extremely hungry for her.
Yeah.
And then in between all other, Kaushalya, the Ramchandra's mother, Devahuti comes down.
Yeah, he's so hungry for it, he goes around breaking things. Okay, good. Anything more?
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, thank you for a very nice class. So, Krishna will reciprocate with our desires or allow us to fulfill our desires when we don't quite desire fully to surrender. But what if we know, like, we know we do, I don't want to desire those things, I want to desire to surrender. So, like, what's the best approach to try and mitigate even the unspoken desires we know must exist in our heart that we don't want Krishna to reciprocate with? We want, like, just forget about those things I'm not even aware of. Like, how do we approach him with that?
I remember Pani Bhushan years ago saying, you can't push out darkness, and if you try to push out yucky things, you're still touching them, they're getting all over you. And you just light one, there's a saying, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Just bring in something good. But two things are there. There's in the Ishopanishad, it says to be aware of darkness, to be aware of it and to know how bad it can be. And years ago, I was talking with someone on a campus, and he said, darkness has a good habit of taking care of itself if you just bring in light. And it was back in my brahmachari days when we were, like, you know, cursing how bad everything is. And he said, you really have a negative outlook. And I said, just focus on positive things. So, but both things are there. It's good to be aware how bad something can be. So I know it's not a real direct answer, but just try to bring in good things, cultivate good desires. I want to desire this, and those other things, they just go away. Somebody I was talking with recently said he was addicted to video games, and then just got into attending a lot of online Zoom classes and found that, yeah, he still plays video games, but they don't have the same pull that they used to. Just gradually you grow into it. And sometimes fighting about things, worrying about them makes it worse just by giving it that much attention. Another one is where we used to live, our son lived across the dirt road, and his goats would get out and come into our garden, and we'd go and try to shoo the goats away, and we'd shoot them with the hose and yell at them and chase them away, but they just stood there and kept eating. And then when I went across the road to my son's house to say, hey, can you get your goats? The goats followed me. And I thought, okay, this is kind of like our thoughts that we're trying to get rid of. Our thoughts, you can't shoo them away, but you can lead them somewhere else. You can take your thoughts somewhere else. if you're over here thinking about something and you don't want to be thinking about it, then like, let's just go over here. Let's focus on this instead. You're not going to be able to chase that away.
Thank you, Prabhu. I always find your class very nice. Thank you. I remember Burjan Prabhu, when we were living in Vrindavan, we would come to Mangalarti. It used to be so cold, we didn't have any heat and stuff. So when he'll come to Mangalarti, he'll say, oh God, I wish I was warmer, I wish I had heat. And then he'd say, Krishna, please, please, those are not my real thoughts. Those are not my real desire. My real desire is to chant Hare Krishna and come and see you. So he said he'll do this, you know, during winter. But then he made it an emphatic effort to say, Krishna, that's just the body. That's just the body. I really want to come see you, and I really want to chant Hare Krishna. That's my real desires. So when these things float, he said, please don't listen to them. These are just, you know, my mind and the body talking. So I remember he used to say that. And then he said, after a while, when he came to see the deities, he was thinking, oh, I have to improve my japa. I'm here to see the deities. So he was saying that these desires will come up, you know, because the material body, as long as we're in this world, we have this material body, and it has desires. But we just have to be a little more thoughtful and say, this is not really what I want, you know. So if you're a little thoughtful like that, he said, you know, at least you're thinking of Krishna consciousness, you know, you're thinking of Krishna. So I remember he gave a class like that. And I always thought it was funny but interesting and good.
Who is that? I missed the name.
Burjan Prabhu. Burjan.
Burjan. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, he used to give classes. And one other thing I want to say is...
Before you go off to the other thing, that's what Kardama Muni is going through here also. Part of his prayers is like, I know this is a material thing, and you're so great, and I'm embarrassed, but this is what I want. But what I really want is, yeah. So it's same. It's very similar.
And another thing is, I had a friend, Nada. She had a terrible divorce, and her mind was always disturbed when she thought of the treatment she got from her ex-husband. And she said, every time I will think how something terrible that I experienced, I'll think of the lotus feet of Krishna. I'll force my mind to go there. And he said, after a while, every time I'll think of that, I automatically will think of Krishna's feet. It became a habit. And she said, within a short time, all I could think was, you know, Krishna's lotus feet. And I thought it was really powerful and good. So I practice that myself when I'm disturbed in my mind. I address the deity sometimes. And I try to think of something on the deities. And it really helps you, pulls the mind away, you know, because sometimes you get so immersed in these material desires. And I thought that was very powerful. One other thing I want to share. When I first went to the temple, I heard the kirtan, was beautiful kirtan, I forgot his name, who was leading it. But it was so strong, and I was really listening, and I love it. And I went home later that weekend to see my brother, and we went to the park, and they were playing baseball. And all I could think of was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was sleeping, I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was just so strong, and I still remember to this day that the Hare Krishna mantra is very powerful. It can penetrate everything. Even, you know, I didn't know the meaning of it or anything. I went and I thought, and later on, of course, I heard how powerful it is. But it was so strong all that weekend, I couldn't get it out. Every place I was chanting it unconsciously, Hare Krishna. People said, what are you saying? And I go, no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I couldn't get it out. And I thought, this mantra is very, very powerful. If we take shelter of it, it will penetrate our material consciousness. So, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So there's this saying that what you resist persists, right? Also, it just seems like, you know, when these desires, which Krishna is telling us that he knows, you know, that they're there, you know, that we're going to be confronted with them at some point in time in our, you know, journey back home, back to Godhead. And so it seems like we want to offer Krishna only the good things, you know, we want to offer him. But it seems like, you know, ultimately, where else are you going to offer up these other, you know, circumstances that come up? I think they also can be placed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in the very last part of the purport, can you read that where Prabhupada is saying that even though we're going through or we have these desires, he still won't like negate or, you know, devotional, he won't let it interfere with devotional service.
Want me to read that?
Yes, please.
I'll read the last two sentences. The personality of Godhead knew the heart's desire of Kardama Muni, and he had already arranged for the fulfillment of his desires. He never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants. But he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service.
So materially speaking, though, it looks like it's detrimental. So how do we, as neophyte devotees, when we see other devotees going through things, you know, respect that, you know, Krishna has this kind of under control? You know, how, you know, like, because, again, I think I've had conversations with others about this black and white, like it's not black or white, you know, and like, if you see someone going through something in our neophyte stage, we say, oh, I don't want to associate with that person, or, you know, you gossip about that person or whatever's going on, instead of saying, you know, wow, Krishna has him in a vulnerable place and he's working some things out, and I want to be a part of, you know, if I have something to offer to this, you know, situation, or if I can be at least, you know, a sounding, you know, or for the individual, you know. But it seems like when devotees are going through things, they really feel isolated or alone, which again could be Krishna's arrangement, because you just take, you know, you get to this place where you just know that it's just between you and Krishna, right? You know. But.
Now we're getting into psychology and psychotherapy, but yeah, we need all of that. And this topic seems like we spend an awful lot of time puzzling over it. When to tolerate, when to act, when to try to rectify a situation, or just tolerate, because we hear both things in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes it says, just tolerate. And then other times, just don't tolerate. Just so when, and then Prabhupada has this interesting phrase, discrimination is the better part of valor. It's a really good saying, and the whole situation where that originally came up from, Prabhupada has just kind of made it his own. He applies it in a very different way. That with valor means like heroism, courage, strength of character. You will be able to discriminate, because a lot of times we'll discriminate based on what's easier, out of laziness, or what's hard. That's too hard to do, so I'm not going to do it. But when we have to make that choice, then we apply valor. Discrimination is the better part of valor. So he says, make your choices with valor. Because, yeah, we could say, well, we don't know what to do, and so I'll just do the easiest one and ignore it for a while. But even then, we still don't know when to jump in and when to just, sometimes it's better just to let things resolve on their own. Some problems, you get in and try to help someone with an addiction problem. Everyone knows about AA, those groups, but then there's groups for people who are in families or in relations with someone with addiction. What's the name of that one? Al-Anon, I think it's called, yeah. And then they have all of these acronyms. Love means let others voluntarily evolve. So sometimes you just have to step back from a situation. And sometimes you need to get very involved with someone, and then sometimes that person becomes so dependent on you, it becomes unhealthy, and you have to, like, let them evolve on their own. Okay, yeah, great big topic. And we're still puzzling over it after years of seminars and discussions. Yes?
Thank you very much for a wonderful class. Just a quick testimonial here to this wonderful purport. In my observation that my life and my husband's life, all our desires always have been fulfilled. But when we're talking material desires and spiritual desires, there is a little difference. All our material desires were fulfilled when we already did not have them. Because if we had them fulfilled when we really had those desires, it would be detrimental to our spiritual path. But the spiritual desires, they are realizing even faster than I can formulate them, honestly, in words. So that's my point. Thank you very much. Wonderful class.
Thank you. And Dhruva, his story in the Bhagavatam, he approached Krishna with material desires, and then Krishna fulfilled all of his spiritual desires, and then he said, by the way, I'm giving you all of this stuff too. So all of that's coming too. Watch out. But it's after we achieve some level of spiritual stability that he might start fulfilling all of those material desires. Okay. Oh, here we go. Concluding words.
Causes one should pay attention, otherwise he's not intelligent, according to Krishna.
1816.
Yes, 1814 are the five, Adhisthana Tathakarta. I won't go details like that. But there is a efficient cause, ingredient cause, initiating cause, sanctioning cause, instrumental cause. We have to pay attention. I am the initiating cause. Everything happening in my life, I was initiating that. I may not remember. So tolerance according to that. If it is for my purification, accept it. It's not easy. I went through also. It's not easy, but it is worth it. But if it is for defaming a senior devotee, yes, I'll fight.
Okay, the five factors. The five factors of action. He's not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. One who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors. The five factors are adhishtanam tathakarta karanam cha pratak vidam vividhas cha pratak cheshta daivam cha evatra panchamam. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. These are the five factors of action. Okay, be aware, you're not the only doer. Okay, one thing.
I have so many desires. So, you know, it's hard to understand our desire because there's so many desires coming. We haven't even dealt with them yet from our previous reaction. So because of that, sometimes it's hard to understand our present situation because it changes so often, so frequently. So anyhow, it's just lots of things to deal with this material life.
Okay. Here we go. Wow, we're going over time.
I'm sorry, please. This is sort of at the essence. These two things are sort of at the essence of where my question comes from. You know, okay, what we are experiencing now is initiated from us, this life, last life, whatever. But
there we go.
So what I'm experiencing now was initiated by me, and then there are these other contributing things. So knowing that, and then maybe I'm aware of some desires that I have, and I either want, you know, I'm aware of some desires, material, spiritual. But what I am afraid of are even desires that are buried underneath layers of dirt that I'm not even aware of yet. And just now coming, like the desire itself is like there. And so how do I navigate my, like that? My only tool that I have, my only go-to tool is prayer. Okay, Krishna, like please protect me from my desires. For whatever they might become. Because I'm so afraid of initiating these other things. Because like Mother Mukhya said, positive, negative, material is material, still entangling. So like, how do I, like, what do I do to show Krishna that I want to be protected from myself?
Okay, well, we'll just go back to the grain hopper thing. Just get in the center, and otherwise we're all going to get crushed. He said, I have an atom bomb. I'm going to drop it on you. You have an atom bomb. You're going to drop it on me. And then we'll all be finished. That was in the middle of the conversation. I just thought that kind of started the whole thing. We have desires, and we're going to destroy ourselves and each other with our desires. But surrender to Krishna. It says we're all going to be smashed because we all have desires. We're the ones that are going to be doing it, destroying ourselves and each other, unless we take shelter of the center of the grinding wheel. Be that one little grain that doesn't go in the hopper. It's so annoying when you're trying to grind it. It's like that guy. Okay, we got it figured out. Now we know what to do. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.